Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I've got Suede at the network, and we just happen to be live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Let me give you the lineup today, all right? Cam Edwards, he is a member and board citizens of the Committee to Keep and Bear Arms, also associated with the Second Amendment Foundation. Going to talk about first-time gun ownership is surging. Then we've got Judd Garrett, author of No Win, frequent contributor on the topics of sports and politics, or rear clear politics, with his latest, The Golden Rule. And in the second hour, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, his latest, Gunmaker's New AR-15 for Kids, has the left shooting intellectual blanks. All right. Well, sounds like we've got a lot about guns today. Right now, want to say hello to Mr. Cam Edwards. He's originally from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I told Cam a long time ago, that's my favorite state. That's a long story. But anyway, that's where he worked in morning drive time radio. Grew up in a gun-free household. And Edwards' mother was a Kennedy Democrat. Becoming a husband and a father in the mid-20s persuaded him to buy his first firearm for protection. And I like this. When asked how many guns he owns, Edwards has joked, less than 42. For years, he hosted the Cam and Country, a Cam and Company radio show at NRA News. Lives on a 40-acre farm with his family in Farmville, Virginia. And as I said before, a member of the board of the Citizens Committee to Keep and Bear Arms. Hey, Cam, how are you doing there?
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. I had to do a little bit of real quick yard work just before I went on the air, and I'm like, okay, fantastic. Hey, let me kind of set this up with what I know about this, and I got some questions for you. First-time gun ownership is surging, and Americans see the thin blue line of law enforcement stretch thin and are being more proactive than ever about their personal safety. Now, with rampant crime as the top issue for Americans in 2022, the new data shows that 5.4 million Americans, or about 30% of gun purchases, were first-time buyers in 2021. COVID has triggered a surge in the new gun ownership, and a new study finds showing almost half were women, and nearly half were also minorities or people of color. The anti-gun lobby relies upon a largely ignorant population to push their anti-gun laws. However, nonsensical recommendations on policing and rampant crime are sending contradictory messages to citizens. And even the mainstream media is not honest in reporting, because data shows more than 2 million defensive gun uses per year, while the media only reports about 2,000 annually. Now that I've set that for you, listener, Cam, tell us more about this surge in this new gun owners in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this started in 2020. I think what's remarkable here is that we've actually seen this continue for, you know, 2 years now. And even today, I think gun sales are strong. We really haven't seen much of a slowdown. Things are starting to become a little bit better in terms of ammunition availability and firearm availability, because the manufacturing side of things has been able to start to catch up to the huge demand. But this really is, I think, both unprecedented and in a way unsurprising. You know, because if you look at – yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you know, and it seems like almost everything that comes up and you talk about, somehow COVID is related. And I wanted to ask you, are these numbers, are they more than double since 2019? How has the pandemic and COVID contributed to gun ownership? I'm sure it has, because, you know, it's so much in-home.
Yep. It has, directly and indirectly. You know, and I've heard some gun control advocates say, well, what, are you going to shoot the virus? No, that's not what's going on. But, you know, the real spike, the first spike that we saw in gun sales happened in March of 2020, when the first, you know, stay-at-home orders came down and businesses were, you know, declared essential or non-essential. That was a real sea change moment for a lot of Americans. We had never lived through anything like that before. And so in that moment of uncertainty, I think that there was a a tendency on the part of millions of Americans to say, okay, I don't know what the future holds, but I'm going to be better off if I can protect myself and my family. And so I think that led to that first initial spike in sales. But then, you know, in the summer of 2020, we saw the riots after George Floyd's death in Minneapolis. That caused, I think, another surge in interest. And since then, you know, violent crime levels have been really high in a lot of American cities. There are a lot of people who are thinking about their ability to protect themselves and their families. They are embracing gun ownership. And again, we're seeing this. It's not that it's just, you know, rural Americans or, you know, white guys over the age of 50. I mean, this is really, we're seeing these gains in new gun owners across the spectrum of American citizens. And I think, you know, it's not for it's not for the greatest of reasons. But I am glad to see that more people are taking their own security and their own safety more seriously these days.
Yeah, it's kind of like that old saying there, Cam, when they outlaw guns, only outlaws will have guns. And once you hear that, it kind of sticks in your head. Tell the listener why the anti-gun lobby is losing their narrative and responsible gun owners and advocates are winning.
Well, I think one of the reasons why they're losing the narrative is that, you know, their whole fundamental premise is that more guns equals more crime, right? And so they, you know, have been trying to make the case that, look, gun sales went up in 2020. That was the same time that, you know, violent crime started going up, so therefore more guns must equal more crime. But Americans aren't buying it. And, in fact, there have been a number of studies that have come out, including by some researchers who aren't exactly Second Amendment stalwarts, who've said, no, there is no correlation between increased gun sales and the increased crime. Something else is going on here. And, you know, Americans' attitudes and appetite for gun control is at the lowest level that's been recorded in almost a decade right now. You know, with violent crime up, you would think that gun control advocates might be able to make some inroads among Americans who are fearful and afraid. But Americans are not interested right now in the idea of banning our way to safety by making it harder for us to exercise our right of self-defense. No, instead, it seems to me that, you know, we've got millions of Americans who are embracing their right to keep and bear arms. And they see that as a much better way of keeping themselves and their community safe as opposed to passing a gun ban.
Yeah. Well, you know, when it comes to schools, and I'll tell you why I bring that up in just a moment, you would say, well, you know, we're having shootings in schools. Remember, every once in a while something breaks out. And, of course, COVID was shutting down a lot of schools. And because of that, I think it sort of skipped a lot of people, and I hadn't really thought about it, but, you know, we just passed the fourth anniversary of the Parkland school shooting that was in Florida, and, of course, now Biden, his administration, they're feeling the pressure to do something. Mm-hmm. But Rasmussen just put out a survey that says 68% of Americans just want the laws on the books enforced. That's all. Comments on that?
Well, I think I think it's pretty accurate. You know, I caution people about putting too much stock in any given poll, but that seems to jibe with what we're seeing around the country. That most people are not interested in putting more laws in the books. We are interested, especially right now. I mean, when you look at what's going on in cities like San Francisco, Los Angeles, where the district attorneys right now are facing recall campaigns from the progressive, you know, population because they've moved so far left that even the liberals are like, what are you doing? This is crazy. You know, when you see stories every day of violent offenders who are getting slapped on the wrist and you know, given probation for robberies, for carjackings and things of that nature, yeah, it's no wonder that people want to see the current laws actually enforced rather than further attempts to criminalize the exercise of a constitutionally protected right.
Well, I'll tell you, you mentioned the district attorneys. You know, they're I call them, you know, the paid-for district attorneys from George Soros because he's behind 99% of all those that are saying, oh, you know, crime's not a big deal. Let them out. Yeah. And it's amazing, all the reports, you know, about repeated people getting out that keep doing the same things and keep harming people and shooting people and robbing people. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Now, Biden is asking Congress, and this doesn't surprise me at all, to allocate and approved $500 million for gun violence prevention. But what is really needed is a Second Amendment education. And that, I think, is one of the great reasons you're on this show today, is because a lot of people don't understand, you know, keep and bear arms and the Second Amendment Foundation. Can you give us a little bit more impact on that? Try to do it on a term like, so you've never thought you need a gun, maybe, you know?
Sure. Well, I mean, listen, there are lots of people who have never thought that they needed a gun. We've got an entire country, in Ukraine right now, where there are millions of people who thought they would never, ever want to own a firearm. And yet now the government is actually handing out AK-47s and asking people to defend themselves and the nation. Unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world where there are individuals who would seek to exploit us for their personal gain, who would try to end our lives for the contents of our pockets. And I think that, unfortunately, the past couple of years have given a lot of people that understanding that maybe they didn't have before, that it is up to us, ultimately, to protect ourselves. We can't depend on the police to be there when we call 911. Law enforcement may be defunded, law enforcement may be busy. We've got, cities right now where priority one response times are taking more than an hour sometimes for police to arrive. So, this has been a real wake-up call for a lot of Americans. And I for those people who are not gun owners, who maybe are thinking about it, or even those folks who would say, nah, it's just not for me, I really would encourage them to think about, nobody wants to wake up in the middle of the night to the sound of breaking glass and somebody in our house. But what would your response be if that happened tonight? And what would you be able to do to protect yourself? What would you be able to do to protect your children? What would you be able to do to protect the people in your life that you love? And if you don't have a good answer, I would encourage people to really think seriously about that, because it can happen to anybody. It can happen in low crime, safe neighborhoods, gated communities. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter who you are. You can be the victim of a violent crime. And if you're not prepared to protect yourself, you can very easily lose your life.
And part of that being prepared is try to get some courses. If you're afraid of guns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. You guys still work with that, right?
Yeah, we do. Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms primarily focus on, litigation and legislation. But there are a ton of great resources out there for people who are, looking to get a training course. This isn't something that is just a one and done. I'm not in favor of mandatory training requirements, but I am in favor of people adopting a, continuing course of training. And this is something that you just do on a regular basis. Go to the range every month or so. And even if you're at home, if you can't make it to the range, there are dry fire exercises that you can do. But yes, being safe and responsible, being competent and comfortable with your firearm is a huge part of exercising your Second Amendment rights safely and responsibly.
And the good thing, it's like people like you and I that were raised in certain parts of the country. I know if you live in downtown L.A., or something like that, but parents used to teach their children, hey, here's how you go out and fire a gun, and you shoot at the cans on the wall and things like that and the targets and not like it now. Hey, for more information, I know we've got the Citizens Committee to Keep and Bear Arms. Okay, that's CCRKBA.org. And then, of course, there's the Second Amendment Foundation, and that's SAF.org. Are those the best websites?
Those are indeed, yes. And folks can also check out BearingArms.com. I'm the editor there. We do the Bearing Arms Scam and Company podcast. So folks want Second Amendment news and information, you can head there as well.
Bearing Arms. All right. Hey, thank you very much, Cam. Look forward to our next visit.
Me too.
All right, Cam Edwards. And we're going to be right back with Judd Garrett.
My heart was racing just making spaghetti. I could have waited to tell my doctor, but I didn't wait.
I was short of breath just reading a book. I could have delayed telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
They told their doctors and found out they have atrial fibrillation, a condition which makes it about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you have one or more of these symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer. When you really want Italian food, you've got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Yes, dreams really do come true. Exhibit A, the L.A. Rams. And you, Pilgrim, are Exhibit A+. Look what you've accomplished during these hectic times. And now it's time for your just reward for a job well done. Come celebrate as the champion you are at Columbo's with a juicy melt-in-your-mouth-watering steak. Neptune's gift from the seven seas. Columbo's Family Italian Recipes, the world's greatest meatballs. Service that's second to none, and all at a down-to-earth bill of fare. Columbo's is the inflation-fighting champion. Columbo's, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking, and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here. Well, nothing going on in the world, huh? No, let's see. Who could we call upon? One of the gentlemen that I just ran across, I guess, in about the last year, maybe? Yeah. And I consider him one of the best and if top 10 excellent writers. His name, Judd Garrett. Now, after 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys. He then began a 12-year coaching career. He was with the Saints, the Dolphins, and what was that team that just won the Super Bowl? The Rams, and also, of course, the Cowboys. And then he served another 12 years as a personal executive with the Cowboys. He's written two screenplays, frequent contributor on topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics, and No Wind. That's the title of his novel. Judd, by the way, married and the father of 6 children. Hello there, Judd. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. You know, here you go again. Wonderful article entitled The Golden Rule. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something, listener. This really shows you what can go wrong, this piece of information that Judd has written. And he starts with 1961 and President John F. Kennedy. Did that kind of start the ball rolling on things that are kind of going wrong now in the United States?
Yeah, well, we sent over troops to South Vietnam because, you know, the North Vietnamese have been attacking South Vietnam. You know, it was a democratic country. It was a free country. And the North Vietnamese wanted to turn into communist, and it had been going on for a while, and we sent troops over there to defend their borders and defend their freedom and defend their democracy, and the intention was great. I mean, I agree with the intention. We should promote democracy and freedom and defend other
the domino
countries.
Theory. We kept hearing about that, didn't we? The domino theory.
Yeah, domino theory,
And you know what? And we're hearing about it today, you know, with the Ukraine.
Yeah, it's a different... It's a,
It's going to fall into Poland, and next thing you know, it'll be in the South America. Anyway, you say that it led us into a protracted 12-year war. 12 years. Wow.
12 years, and we lost 58,000 soldiers were killed in that war. And in the end, we withdrew, and the North Vietnamese won. And so I'm horrified with what's going on in Ukraine. I mean, I think Russia's absolutely wrong what they're doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are our choices? Should we, you know, we sent, 8,000 troops over the other day? Are we going to keep sending troops over to fight that war? Is it a winnable war? Are we willing to sacrifice? I mean, how many lives are we willing to sacrifice? How much money are we willing to spend? I mean, we just pulled out of Afghanistan in July, and now we're back into another war. So, You know, these are the questions that have to be asked.
You know, and in your article, The Golden Rule, you mentioned, you know, this 12-year war that we got into with Vietnam, 58,000 United States soldiers killed. 58,000. And, of course, then, you know, you have all the other, you know, PTSD and everything else that started there. So, well, actually, I'd say it probably started in World War One. They didn't know what to call it and didn't know what to do. That's the old, what was his name, the general, the one that slapped the soldier.
Patton?
Yes, thank you. Because he didn't realize that, you know, not PTSD. Now we got everything attached to a soldier. Unfortunately, everything they're trying to attach to it. But like you say, North Vietnam won, United States withdrew, the North Vietnamese took control of South Vietnam, destroying its border and sovereignty. And that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in order for us to fight these guys on land, I mean, we're going to have to send over 200,000 troops. They have 190,000 soldiers aligned at the Ukrainian border or already invading. So, I mean, we would have to match them boot for boot. And, you know, I don't know if we're willing to do that. And when you send over that many troops, you got to be prepared for, mm-hmm. you know, tens of thousands of losses. So, these are real questions that we have to ask ourselves,
when
we're making decisions.
Well, we're going to take a break, and I'm sure that Biden's going to be asking Putin, you know, are you sure that that all of your soldiers are woke, you know? Have you checked to make sure? Yeah. Boy, oh boy. I don't know. Kind of makes you wonder if we've got the right general going in here. Judd Garrett. His website is objectivityistheobjective.com. Got that? Objectivityistheobjective.com. We'll be right back.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Do you remember Herbert W. Armstrong? Do you remember his magazine, The Plain Truth? His television program, The World Tomorrow? The one and only possible message of world peace?
Now we're living in the most serious, the most momentous times of the history of this world.
Those who heard Herbert W. Armstrong speak remember the depth of thought, the clarity of expression, and the power of his message, He spoke for God. God warned this world through Herbert W. Armstrong, and he gave hope to this dying world through Herbert Armstrong. What happened to that ministry? What happened to that message? We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as one day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as one day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
Everybody's talking at me.
Judd Garrett, my guest, and his website, objectivityistheobjective.com. We're discussing his latest, The Golden Rule. You know, I'm going to tell you something, Judd. We talk about, you know, sending our men and women over to fight. And I thought about during the break, and I'm thinking about, you know, term limits. So Pelosi, you figure, hey, do you have any kids old enough? Well, my oldest son is 72, you know what I mean? And then you get all these, like you say in part of your thing, where their sons receive exemptions, you know, if you're in Congress. And, of course, Hunter Biden ain't going because he already got discharged. So, in other words, I don't think there's too many Congress critters that have to worry about sending their children off to fight wars.
No question about it, and it's easier to send other people's sons and daughters off to fight and die mm-hmm. in foreign lands than it is to send your own. I mean, you see that when you study Lincoln. I mean, Lincoln had a really hard time sending his own son to fight in the Civil War, even though, you know, he believed it was as just a war as there ever was. So it's a really hard thing to do. So you really have to put yourself into other people's shoes before you make this decision to start deploying troops into a war.
Yeah, and you know, you say, you know, like here we are, you know, the leaders claiming that we're protecting the free democratic country of the Ukraine under attack by Russia. And none of this would have come about, in my opinion, if we'd had the right president who would make sure that Putin didn't carry this stuff out, and I think that guy was Trump. I don't know.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, Trump is a much stronger leader, and you know the one thing that Trump had going for him is that he was a little bit unpredictable, and you know people didn't really know what was going to happen. Joe Biden's very predictable. Putin knows exactly what Biden will do. So he can call the shots. He can dictate the action. Where Trump can be unpredictable, he's obviously he's much stronger. And then, you know, to me, you know, Trump's vision was very similar to Ronald Reagan's vision. You know, Reagan believed in peace through strength.
Right.
And when he said that, it wasn't necessarily only military strength. It was also economic strength. And that's what, you know, Make America First Great, Make America Great was all about, was making us really strong economically on the world stage so we can dictate international relations. We can use that economic power, you know, to promote peace.
Uh-huh.
And that's what Trump is all about. And, you know, we currently have a president who I believe has been working against our economic strength. You know, he shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. He's been very anti-gas and oil. He's weakened us, you know, in our energy sector, which hurts our ability to affect what's going on in Ukraine and Russia right now.
Did I hear correctly that yesterday or early today that he said that it might take up to 1 month to determine what we're going to have to do with the Ukraine? Did I hear that right, or did you hear that by any chance?
I heard something. I thought I heard him say it would take a month to determine whether the sanctions actually worked, and we would have to live with all the, you know. I mean, when he sanctions Russia, you know, all the rest of the world, you know, gets hurt as well. So, you know, our gas prices are going to go through the roof, and we're going to have to deal with all that. And, yeah, he said it was going to take about a month to see if those actually worked.
Of course, we had independence, freedom on all of our, you know, oil and gas and everything for the first time ever almost. And then all of a sudden, like you say, shut down that Keystone pipeline. Let's give Russia a pipeline. Make sure it works just fine. I remember when Trump went over and dropped that big, gigantic bomb, you know, and I think that was in Afghanistan, and all of a sudden ISIS said, yeah, we don't want to play anymore, you know. And then when Iran did all that stuff, you know, shooting those missiles off and everything, Trump automatically reacted, and nothing became of that. I'll tell you, we may be in a heap of trouble. And you say in your article, and I love this expression, that, all right, let's say that we get all this going and put all these people out there. And then in your article you say, and then once again, we're in, and we can't dip our toe in the water of war, and if we don't like it, pull it out.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, if we decide to send troops over to Ukraine, we're in it for the long haul. We're not pulling our troops out. And, you know, Russia's not doing this to lose. And I believe that Putin cares a whole lot less about his soldiers than we do of ours. So, you know, he's going to keep deploying soldiers until he wins this thing. So this is going to be a long, drawn-out thing if we try to get into a land war in Ukraine versus Russia. Now, I don't know if that's what Joe Biden's planning on right now, but you know, it could end up leading to that, and we got to be very careful before we send our troops over there, because it's going to look a lot more like Vietnam than it is, say, you know, what happened in Iraq or the first Gulf War.
Yeah. I want to remind the readers, listeners again, that if you want to read this in its entirety, word for word, be sure to go to objectivityistheobjective.com. Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. And now let's get to the part where China kind of gets involved in this too, right? And very interesting when it comes to communications and what you're hearing in America. You're not hearing it on this channel, of course, but many others, there's going to be a different, a different take on what's happening. And maybe America might even turn out to be the bad guy. I don't know, because you get into the media and China in this article.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as we saw in Vietnam know, these types of wars are won at home as much as they are on the battlefield. And if you're able to keep your country together and unified behind the cause, you give yourself a great chance of winning. Well, we're a divided country right now. It's obvious. And, you know, China, who controls much of what we see in the media because of all their ties in the internet, all their ties to the entertainment industry and all that stuff, you know, they're going to be dictating a lot of the content we see. And I don't think a lot of that content's going to be for United States of America, or, like you said, a lot of that content will be, you know, showing that America is the bad guy or America is at fault. It's gonna try to sow division in our country.
And as you say, you know, we couldn't defeat the Viet Cong because we had lost the war at home, and very possible that that's going to happen again. I don't think so. I think the way it stands right now, and I haven't seen any polls whatsoever, Judd, but I believe, you know, right now the Americans are saying, yeah, those Russians, what the heck are they doing now? You know, we need to get over there and help those people. But it's so easy to say that when it's not involving your son or daughter, you know?
Exactly. And then what does that help look like? I mean, we can, like I said, we can put up with higher gas prices for a while. That's fine if it's for a noble cause, but are we willing to sacrifice our sons and daughters? I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, listener, if you even see Biden speak, anytime he gets up and speaks, you know that he comes across very, very weak. And I personally believe absolutely 99.9% that he's not the guy calling the shots, okay? That's my belief. You know, he's the puppet, so to speak. But the Russians and the general public, you know, every country sees exactly how Biden is acting, you know. And he might get mad and super mad, and the only time he really shows true emotion is if somebody asks him a question that he doesn't want to answer.
Exactly. I mean, and it's interesting to say he's not calling the shots. I mean, he's essentially a figurehead, but who would choose Joe Biden to be the figurehead? I mean, he projects weakness. He projects, I mean, almost senility on a daily basis. Wouldn't you pick a much stronger person to be the figurehead? So it's almost funny when you look at it. And I know Vladimir Putin is looking at this whole thing, and that's emboldened him as much as anything, that he knows that Joe Biden is not a strong president and he's not calling the shots.
If I was picking somebody to do the, speaking, I would pick somebody. That is, if, you know, if I was going to turn America into socialism or whatever, you know, or I was more inclined to like China and Iran more than America, I would pick somebody like that, because if I did a guy that was only going to follow 40% of what I said, you know, chances are he might just automatically one day squeak out, I'm not really the guy in control, don't blame me. But Biden's not going to do that. You know, it's the ego thing, too. Or maybe he thinks he's in control. I don't know. Maybe he's been hypnotized. Maybe it's a robot. I don't know. It'd be nice if it wasn't him. Maybe we could unplug
it. I think he gets his daily ice cream cone. He's fine.
Well, I'll tell you. So then you say, we are overly concerned about protecting the border and the national sovereignty of the Ukraine, while at the same time we're erasing our own border and sacrificing our national sovereignty with the Biden's open border policy in the South. You know, and when this first started, this whole thing started with the Ukraine, it was like, what do you mean, you know, they shouldn't be allowed to cross the border? You know, you're not the border guy.
I mean, it's almost comical that they can't see their own hypocrisy. I mean, I know, like, I do a lot of these writings, and I constantly try to check myself to make sure that I'm not contradicting myself or being hypocritical to something I wrote in the past. I can't believe that these people can on the one hand say that borders are racist and we don't need a southern border, and then in the next breath say we got to defend Ukraine's border to the hilt. I mean, I don't know how you can hold those two positions in your mind.
And, you know, and if you really are the most powerful nation in the world, you know, then like you say, let me see if I can find that. When Donald Trump made America great again, he was talking about making America overwhelmingly the most powerful economic nation on the planet again. And if the whole world depends on us most powerful economic nation on the planet, and they depend upon us economically, then we'll never have to fire another shot or drop another bomb. But now we're not in that situation. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, climate change has a lot to do with the situation we're in right now.
No question about it. I mean, the climate activists who bang the drums for us to shut down the Keystone Pipeline, to stop the drilling on federal lands and all that, and it has made us not energy independent anymore, it's hurt our ability to influence what's going on over there in Russia and Ukraine. And a lot of people are going to die because of our climate change policies that Biden implemented.
And the other thing about that, you know, it's I've always thought, you know, climate change is a hoax, you know, and how they keep moving the goalposts more than they ever did in COVID out here in California, you know, and he moved them a lot. But, you know, it's going to happen in 6 years, 12 years. Okay, that goes by. Now it's going to be another 12 years. Then it's going to be 5 years, then 10 years. And China, amazingly, is getting a pass. They don't have to worry about climate change. They can have all the coal factories and spew up in the air and everything they want to. And there's something wrong with that picture, you know?
Well, it doesn't make sense. Like I said, we had to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline because of climate change, but yet we opened up the Nord Stream pipeline for the Russians. So if we're really concerned about climate change, we would have shut down both pipelines. And at the same time, we're putting heavy restrictions on our carbon production, but China doesn't have any restrictions on their carbon production. They just ordered, I think it was 100 tons of coal from Russia just last week that they're going to burn and spew carbon into the atmosphere. So, you know, these people, it's so transparent, they don't really care about climate change because they'd be jumping up and down about what China's doing and what Russia's doing, but they never say a word. It's only what America does with our carbon production.
And, Judd, it all falls under that whole thing about, you know, what was originally the Great Green New Deal, you know, and then you got Build Back Better. They're all under the same thing, but the main thing is that the rich countries, and that would put America number one, you shell out all your money helping the poor countries, you know, all over the world that, you know, that have bad water and bad air and all this stuff. And, man, I mean, it was, to me, like, how much can we suck out of the United States, Uncle Sap, you know?
Yeah. And somehow China got labeled into the poor country when it's the second biggest economy on the planet. So they don't have to abide by any of the climate rules that we have to.
Yeah. You know, we're going to take a break here in a minute, and then I'm going to get into this part here where you talk about the wasteful trillion-dollar far-left spending packages. A very, very interesting, excellent article from Judd Garrett. And the article is entitled, The Golden Rule. Yeah. Objectivity is the objective.com. Be right back.
You experiencing pain, back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain, pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Nonpayment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here with my guest, Judd Garrett, author of No Wind, W-I-N-D, and that's available at Amazon. We are discussing his latest, The Golden Rule, and he says our leaders are cutting the legs out of our economy and waste $1 trillion far less spending packages, devaluing our dollar with hyperinflation from excess printing of money, destroying our sovereignty with massive illegal immigration, selling out our manufacturing sector to our enemies so that the billionaire donors increase their bottom line, and then, of course, allowing crime to take over our major cities. You know, I heard somewhere, Judd, and I'm not sure, but like gasoline, just because of what's going on right now in the Ukraine, it'll probably go up to about $6 a gallon.
Yeah, that's right here, and it's I think it's over $100 per barrel right now. And You know, I mean, the reason why I call the article The Golden Rule, and not so much Jesus's Golden Rule, but
right,
you know, the other take on the Golden Rule: whoever has the gold makes the rules. So whoever is the strongest economy, the most powerful economy, they're the ones that are going to be able to set the rules, you know, in worldwide international politics. And you know, our leaders, especially the ones on the left, from Obama to Biden, you know, that they want to reduce America. They want to make America, you know, smaller, and they keep hurting our economy and making all these types of decisions, and our ability to influence what's going on in the world gets weaker and weaker when we become economically weak, and that's what's going on, and the people on the left, you know, either don't see it or refuse to acknowledge that reality.
And when you use those words, you know, that we become weaker and weaker, I flash back, and I think I mentioned this to you before, about the video I saw where it was showing a Russian military person in training and all the stuff they were going through compared to what the American troops are going through. And, of course, we're not talking about the SEALs or the Rangers. You know, they still do the bad stuff, you know, hard training. But when you start worrying about, you know, we have to have, you know, enough gays or whatever, or lesbians, and, you know, when that becomes the primary thing, you know we're in a heap of trouble. And
no question. I mean, they're promoting all that woke agenda throughout our military.
Yeah.
And because they want diversity, meaning they want more women or whatever, you know, they're reducing a lot of the physical standards that soldiers have to meet in order to promote that there are more women in combat. And again, that just makes our country and our military weaker.
Yeah. I think at one time, you know, there was a belief that women are the ones that supply the nation with kids and children. You know, that was the one reason they didn't want them to go to war as much, you know, and get killed, because you still need to, you know, build your country, so to speak. And Biden solved that just by opening the borders, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ah, boy. So now Russia's gone in there, and the Chernobyl plant, they've taken over that and all the, you know. And I'll tell you, it's something else. I don't know if they're calling it World War III or not, but it's getting pretty close to it, Judd. And I want to thank you again. Of course, another excellent article, Judd Garrett. And if they want to get a copy of your book, No Wind, Amazon is the best place, right?
Yeah, go on Amazon. You can get a Kindle version, or you can get a regular, hard copy of the book.
Yeah. He's probably going to write another one. He said, "My biggest mistake, how in the world did I ever get connected with Wilder?" Yes, one of these days.
No.
All right. Hey, appreciate it. Have a good weekend, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, author of No Wind, Objectivity is the Objective.com. You'll find all his excellent articles right there. Speaking of excellent, the Duke is right around the corner, Mr. Selwyn Duke. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I've got Suede at the network, and we are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Program is repeated many, many times, so there you go. It's your fault if you miss out on such good information. By the way, when next we meet, I haven't told you about this. Let me see. Michael Letts, CEO and founder of InvestUSA, there was a cop shot at by a 4-year-old whose dad ordered him to shoot. Can you believe that? Then, of course, let's see, Frank Savato. Yes, he's going to be here talking about Canadian court makes Freedom Convoy organizer a political prisoner. And he has a brand new one. I forgot what it is, but we'll get to that one, too. And then Andrew Art Arthur, resident fellow in law and policy for the Center for Immigration. And I want to tell you right now, I don't know. I didn't get an okay on this, I don't think, unless I buried it. Let me see if I buried it. I sure did. I'm sorry about that, Suede. The one and only Selwyn Duke, who writes for The New American, is my guest. He has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. And he's one of those guys that appears on television, frequent guest on radio, and a frequent guest on this show, which we love. And right now, it is time for the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, 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 Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl.
I am just a little kid, but I want to learn how to shoot a gun. Oh, hey, Selwyn, how are you? I didn't know my mic was on.
How you doing there, Chuck? How you doing?
it's kind of one of those days, you know. It's like I'm going faster than I'm capable of, I think. That's what it is, yes. I
heard you mention.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I heard you mention Frank Salvato there. He and I go way back. He used to publish my work about 20 years ago, and just an interesting little tidbit here. He had this site, New Media Journal.
Yeah, you know, he's with the Compass Point Group. He's the executive partner, and he's doing a bunch of podcasts, Underground USA, Captain's America Third Watch. If you need his phone number, let me know, and I'll send it to you, and you guys can hook up. But let me tell you a funny thing about him. See, when he was married, I had his wife on all the time, and she wrote great articles. I loved them, you know. And she kept saying, every single time she would say, Chuck, you ought to interview my husband. You ought to interview my husband. And finally I said, all right, you know, probably an old man that got a young girl, you know. So, okay. So we hooked up. And I'm going to tell you, man, his brain is fantastic. You know, he is, he's right. He's almost right there with you, Selwyn. All right. I just want you to know you guys are running pretty close neck to neck there. And boy, when it gets
into Chuck.
Yeah, when it gets into
You were going to say he was way up there intellectually, just one or two levels below you.
No, I got a long ways to go. But anyway, it's funny he doesn't push all the books he's written because, you know, when he gets into, you know, the Muslims and all that, I mean, he's on it. Yes, sir. So I'll tell you.
Yeah, I think that's what got him censored years ago. That's what I was going to tell you. Long before anyone was talking about big tech censorship, his site, the New Media Journal, which he had many years ago, basically was scuttled by Google because Google started censoring that site in its news search. I'm going back a long way now, maybe 15 years, I mean, in terms of what we're discussing.
I was still
and
in
I
diaper
think what
yeah,
got...
when that was going on. Yeah, go ahead.
Look at that. But I think it was his commentary on Islam, if I'm not mistaken, that actually was the thing that got him censored. Yeah.
Hey, you know, speaking of, you know, I just flippantly said, you know, I was in a diaper at that time. Is it possible that when you turn 80, you're in a diaper again?
Well, that does sometimes happen, unfortunately. I mean, I guess it's the kind of thing we don't want to joke about. But, that can happen. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I know who you're alluding to, too.
Yeah. Well, because they're lazy. That's why. Let me see here. Yeah. There is very interesting, you know, I think the gun you hear more about, listener, is the AR-15. You know, boy, you talk about getting a bad reputation. Tried to get radio shows, TV shows, and AR-15 is turned down every time. But here is a very interesting thing. And, you know, and I've really been getting into guns and Second Amendment just recently with a lot of guests, Selwyn. And the AR-15, Selwyn's got a story for you here that the gun makers knew AR-15 for kids. Now, can you imagine? I bet as soon as you type those words, you were thinking, oh, I have people automatically. Boy, they're drawing back on, what are you talking about? An AR-15 for kids? Well, it's the rest of the title is, has left the shooting intelligent blanks, the left shooting intelligence blanks. You kind of have to put a pause after the left. The AR-15 for kids has left shooting intelligence blanks. There you go. Would you let your son play with a toy gun? How about a real one? Selwyn? Yeah, this is a very interesting story.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't have to tell you that the soccer mom types and the left-wingers don't like the idea of even letting their kids play with toy guns. So what I said years ago was a really great response to that is, if a left-winger says to you, you let your son play with toy guns, you just say, well, what are you talking about? He's too young for a real one. But that may no longer be true because actually, and this really caught my eye, this story, there's this new AR-15 that's been designed just for kids. Now, To some people, that may sound terrible, but you have to understand the AR-15 is our nation's most popular rifle. That's one reason why it's talked about so much, and there's a good reason for that. It's something that's very, very light, very, very light weapon. It has almost no recoil. For that reason, it's very, very good for people who aren't as strong, such as women and children. And anyway, this a rifle for kids, this AR-15, has been dubbed or called the JR-15. Which obviously is a play on Junior, and I'm sure the left-wingers aren't going to like that either. It's being marketed by this company, WEE1 Tactical, WE1 Tactical. And they say it's, quote, the first in a line of shooting platforms that will safely help adults introduce children to the shooting sports, unquote. And it also says on the company's website that the rifle, quote, also looks, feels, and operates just like mom and dad's gun. Now, of course, this has the left absolutely apoplectic. And as I wrote in the later article, Chuck, what this really illustrates is how we have two Americas, to put it very loosely, because there are people who are more traditional, and they raise their kids as Americans always have. And remember, it's in accordance with American tradition to teach boys to shoot, boys in particular, when they're very, very young. That happened all throughout our history, even before we were a country. That's what parents did. So half of America, or this traditional America, understands that. And this gun is something that just facilitates that because it's much lighter than even a regular AR-15. It's less than 2.5 pounds. It would have even less recoil because it only fires a 22 round. And the 22 is the same kind of round that Marlin that you might have shot 50 or 60 years ago shot, okay, just the kind of thing you would teach a child on.
That was the thing, you know, the 22 rifle. Let me ask you real quick, it only shoots one bullet, right, at a time?
Well, it's sent out, right? I understand, it's shipped with a one-round magazine. Now, I don't know if they have a magazine that can hold more rounds as well, but that's something else you do when you're training children. You just load the gun with one round at a time because you want the situation to be very, very controlled. Yeah. It's very, very important. You don't want to give a kid a 30-round magazine or anything like that right off the bat. But anyway, as I said, the left-wing media was absolutely apoplectic over this story. For instance, the AFP, that's a news bureau, it reminded people in its commentary, Chuck, which was commentary masquerading as hard news, that the AR-15, quote, has been used in multiple mass killings in the United States, unquote. And then, of course, unsurprisingly, in its article, it only quoted anti-Second Amendment activists in order to get copy for its article. And this is what the left always does. You know, they say, well, this is hard news. But then what they do is they only mention things that buttress their cause. And they only quote people who are going to advance their cause. So, like I said, it's commentary masquerading as hard news. But anyhow, you know, I address in this article this whole idea of why a lot of people don't want their sons to play with guns. I remember my best friend ran into this fellow in upstate New York whose wife, I think, wouldn't let their young son play with toy guns. And so the idea that many people have is, well, this might somehow spark violent instincts in them. Maybe it'll be more likely that they'll grow up to be murderers. And I address that. I say, well, okay, if you're not going to let your son play with even toy guns because you're worried he could turn into a murderer, do you also say, well, I'm not going to let my son play with trucks because he could turn into a truck driver? And now with what happens in Canada with those protests, that's something that might really worry the left.
You were onto something and you didn't know it, yes.
Yeah. And I've actually been using that line for years. But, you know, it's quite silly, Chuck, thinking that instruction in or experience with a thing is going to increase the probability that thing will be used for evil. I mean, other examples. Does teaching a youngster to drive increase the chances he'll mow down a crowd with a car? Or if a kid becomes skilled at baseball, Chuck, is it more likely he'll bludgeon someone unconscious with a bat? What about if you school a lad in carpentry? Does it raise the odds that he's going to kill someone with a hammer? You know, and by the way, it's apropos to mention this because, get this, more people are killed in the United States yearly with blunt instruments like bats, like hammers, than with not only AR-15s, but then with rifles of any kind. And this is something to understand because the left demonizes the AR-15, but the AR-15 is used in very, very few crimes. Rifles in general are used in very, very few crimes. And I also point out in my piece, stop me if you want to, but there was a time, Chuck, we both remember this, when gun control proposals, measures, actually had some bearing on reality. Now, I didn't support them even back then, but the reality is that if you go back to the 1990s, the left was talking about banning handguns. Now, there's a good reason why they were focusing on handguns, because handguns are criminals' weapons of choice because they're concealable. So at least you could see there was some rhyme and reason to what the left was doing. But now, focusing on AR-15s, they've completely jumped the shark. I mean, there's no reality to this whatsoever. They've gone from trying to ban criminals' weapon of choice to trying to ban sports shooters, American sports shooters' weapon of choice, because, like I said, the AR-15 is our nation's most popular rifle. And this is why, Chuck, so many people think that these gun control measures have nothing to do with safety and everything to do with just trying to control people. Now, the next thing I want to address, and I address this in my article, Chuck, is AR-15s, they have been used in some horrific massacres. But here's the thing, why is that? Well, they're not the most effective weapon for that kind of scenario. If you're up against soft targets, and what I mean is people who are not wearing body armor and who are at close range, then actually a much, much more effective weapon would be a semi-automatic shotgun, which is basically like a little hand cannon. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
The AR-15 rounds, in contrast, the round that it takes, is very small in caliber, just like that, almost like that of a .22, and it's moderate in terms of killing power, according to a study that I link up to in my article. So
let's,
actually, from the low end.
Let's hold it right there for just a moment, so we'll take that break there. Yeah, it's amazing. .22, that's what I was trained with when I was a young kid. But I was in the part of the country, you know, where everybody had to learn to shoot, and you had to shoot at rabbits and then quail and, oh, yes, and never a person, never, never. Rattlesnakes, of course. Selwyn Duke. It's SelwynDuke.com. S-E-L-W-Y-N Duke.com. Be right back.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold ship to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, the new American. Selwyn Duke. com, talking about the gunmaker's new AR-15 for kids, and a lot of people automatically jumping on the wrong conclusions about that. And basically, you're saying that it's just equal to like a 22, right, as far as firepower?
Well, not in terms of firepower, Chuck. In terms of caliber, it's about the same as a 22. That is the standard round that the AR-15 takes, which is the 223 or a 5.56 in metric terms. Now, in terms of killing power relative to other rifle rounds, and I link up to a list that actually vindicates this assessment, it's according to someone's analysis. It's rather low in terms of killing power. That was my point. And actually, that shouldn't be surprising because there are some people in the military who complained about that when militaries first wanted to transition to that round. For instance, in Russia, it was the Soviet Union back then. They went to, from the AK-47, to an AK-74, which shot the same round, and a lot of them complained, well, this is not good, it doesn't have enough killing power, so on and so forth. So I should also point out, this is why in certain states, Chuck, it's actually illegal to hunt deer with AR-15s, because you may not bring the animal down, it may just walk away wounded and then suffer for a very, very long time. So my point here is not to say that it cannot be used to kill people. Of course it can. All weapons, if they're misused, can be dangerous. But the point is that this is not this big, scary weapon of war as the left portrays it to be. And let me say something else about that. This is not in my article, Chuck, but it's very interesting. We heard Beto O'Rourke, or actually Irish Bob, as I like to call him, Texas, say years ago, well, weapons of war, they should not be in the hands of Americans. Well, you know what the problem with that is? One, the AR-15 is not state-of-the-art, as he was implying, because even when our military used the military version of that, it wasn't the AR-15, it was the M-16. Second, our military has moved on from that. But here's the kicker, Chuck. What weapon, what firearm was not at one time, quote, a weapon of war?
Yeah.
Even the flintlock at one time was a weapon of war. They were all designed for that purpose, to facilitate battles, to make your side more effective on the battlefield. So, I mean, it's a ridiculous argument. You could say that about any
firearm.
It's
almost like the gun started the war. You know what I'm saying when they say weapons of war? Oh, it was started by a gun. No. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe I'm getting it wrong there, but it sounds that way sometimes.
Right. I mean, for that matter, the club at one time was a weapon of war and was state-of-the-art, right? If you go back to caveman days, so you could use that thinking to outlaw any and every weapon in existence.
And look at them
but
now,
anyway,
you know, the ones, you know, where they actually ban guns, and I think it's like over in London or something, and now they're all getting killed with knives, you know. Because knives don't weigh as much as your hammers that you mentioned a while ago. So, I tell you.
And are very concealable, too. And guess what? Yeah. Then in London, in England, what did they do? They started instituting, I'm not joking, knife control. People used to joke about this. Well, you know, if we didn't have guns and people killed others with knives, they'd have knife control. Well, now that's actually what Britain has done. It's absolutely unbelievable. But there's another question that should be tackled here. Well, why then do we see these massacres perpetrated with AR-15s? And we sometimes do. Well, first of all, not all of them are. The media, though, does tend to latch onto the ones that are perpetrated with that weapon. For instance, the one in Colorado where that fellow went into a movie theater, he was using a shotgun. But The reason why some of these maniacs choose AR-15s is very simple. They don't know a lot about weapons. The AR-15 is common, so it tends to be around, and it looks cool. So the same thing that makes it appealing to the sports shooter, it's nice look. Well, a sports shooter, let's be clear, tends to know about guns, so it's not just that that makes it appeal to him. But makes it appealing to these maniacs who don't really know anything about guns. If they did, they'd use a more effective weapon in that situation. And let's thank God that they don't, that they don't use a semi-automatic shotgun, that they don't know what they're doing, because then when they perpetrated these horrible acts, they'd actually kill many more people. And that absolutely is true. I mean, these people obviously are crazy who do these things. But getting back, Chuck, to these fevered fears about children and guns, you know, I remember this from many years ago. There was this judge who said, and I'm paraphrasing, "I've never seen a boy come before me who had a hunting or fishing license." And he, of course, meant come before me in court. Yeah. And this just is common sense. Because do you really think that a kid who has an engaged father who maybe teaches him proper gun handling, maybe takes some target shooting or hunting, is going to turn out to be a mass shooter? That's not the profile of a mass shooter. I mean, the average criminal or mass shooter is a kid who often doesn't have a father around.
That's true. And then if you got the wrong one, they'll say, "You want a gun? Wait until you join a gang." All right, Selwyn Duke with the rest of the story when we return. His website, SelwynDuke.com.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Kenneth Branagh is back as Agatha Christie's master detective Hercule Poirot, trying to figure out what happened to wealthy heiress Gal Gadot during a glamorous group vacation to Egypt in Death on the Nile, now playing in theaters.
The crime is murder. The murderer is one of you.
I don't feel safe here.
I will deliver your killer.
But as in any other Agatha Christie novel, there are so many potential killers in this large, distinguished cast that it takes a while to narrow down all of these elegant and eccentric people into the most plausible suspect. As in his previous Hercule Poirot film, Murder on the Orient Express, Branagh's director and star recreates a visually stunning view of 1930s glamour and indulgence, though the twisty plot is preposterous, of course, and takes intense concentration to follow. Rated PG. PG-13 for some disturbing violence. 3 stars for Death on the Nile.
When you really want Italian food, you've got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club, Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Yes, dreams really do come true. Exhibit A, the LA Rams. And you, Pilgrim, are Exhibit A+. Look what you've accomplished during these hectic times. And now it's time for your just reward for a job well done. Come celebrate as the champion you are at Columbo's with a juicy, melt-in-your-mouth-watering steak. Neptune's gift from the seven seas. Columbo's family Italian recipes. The world's greatest meatballs. Service that's second to none. And all at a down-to-earth bill of fare. Columbo's is the inflation-fighting champion. Columbo's, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, selwynduke.com, and clearing up some of the fog on the AR-15 and talking about the tiny AR that's now out for kids so they learn the right way. You know, it's sort of like learning how to walk, isn't it, Selwyn? Hello?
I'm sorry, Chuck. I'm sorry. My mistake. Yeah. Little glitch there. Little glitch in the matrix. A glitch in the matrix.
See, I
but
told you,
anyway.
your father should have showed you how to turn that button on earlier instead of making you learn how to do it yourself. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I wasn't taught anything. That's my problem here. But, yes, I heard what you said, and absolutely. Now, liberals certainly wouldn't like the sound of this conversation, but no. We have to reiterate it's been normal in America to teach kids to shoot when they were very, very young. This weapon we're talking about just facilitates that. That's all. It allows kids to shoot in a safer way when you're training them, because the gun, on top of the things we mentioned earlier, is also fitted to children. It's the right size for them, so they can control it a lot more easily. But anyway, getting back to my piece, you know, I also point out, go into a little philosophy here, not too much, that this whole idea that exposure to firearms is going to increase the chances that children will be godless really reflects, I'm sorry, will be violent, misspoke, reflects a godless perspective that conceives of man as just another animal. In other words, you put appealing food before a dog, and what happens? Well, he gobbles it down, and if you let him, he'll practically eat himself to death because he's an animal. Only a person is going to think rationally, even though he's also subject to temptation, and may say, okay, well, should I eat this? Is it healthful? Is it going to make me look like Jabba the Hutt? Okay, so people are rational beings. And I also point out in my article, just to add more perspective, that remember, every child must learn to manage weapons. And what I mean is these weapons are called hands, fists, and feet. Now, you might say, Duke, you're really reaching here. No, the FBI classifies those appendages as weapons. They're called personnel weapons, according to the FBI. But get this, here's the kicker, more perspective. These personnel weapons, hands, fists, and feet, Chuck, are used to kill more people every year than rifles of any kind are. Think about that the next time you see the left trying to demonize the AR-15, which is just one type of rifle. So anyway, you know, the other thing we have to remember is it's funny because the left, Chuck, really has a problem determining the relationship between cause and effect. Because when did we see this increasing frequency of mass shootings? Well, it started manifesting itself in the 90s. But were AR-15s invented in the 90s? No, they were originated in the late 50s. What we did see in the 90s, though, were some other things that people don't want to talk about. What are they? Well, how about this? The increased tendency to medicate children with psychotropic drugs, especially boys, okay? We saw the intensification of mindless entertainment violence. We saw the internet's rise. We saw, Chuck, continued family breakdown. And we saw burgeoning godlessness and its associated moral relativism, which I've written a lot about. Now, people often don't want to discuss these matters, but if we don't discuss things such as this when we're tackling the issue of reducing crime, then it's just not an honest discussion. It's not a serious one, and then don't do it at all. And also, perspective, listen. We can go further. We had relatively few gun laws earlier in our history when crime rates were much, much lower, right? These rising crime rates in general now, not just talking about mass shootings, Chuck, were a phenomenon of the 1960s and 70s, okay? In fact, get this. This will shock some people. In the 40s and 50s in New York City, sometimes boys would carry rifles openly because they had rifle clubs at school. Think about that for a moment, okay? Yeah. Imagine what would happen if you did that today on the New York City subways. But
and I'm going to tell you,
what
Selin,
changed
that,
in,
and real quick here, that, you know, like when I was going to high school, right, this would just be whenever you first got your first car or first pickup or whatever, and I lived in, you know, the area there, you know, where they had rattlesnakes and things like that, right, and lots of rabbits. But you had hooks in the back of your truck where you would hang your gun in the truck, and the truck was never locked either at school. You know, these were like small towns, and no mass shootings at schools anywhere. It was...
Yeah.
Like you say,
that's something.
And rifle clubs at schools? Oh, talk about the left jumping up and down on anything like that. My goodness, they have more important things, and we're going to get into that a little later, too, about, you know, how a man can have a baby or whatever. Yeah, that's the schools, not rifles. Go ahead. I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Look, the bottom line is this. America has changed a lot, as we know. And if we're going to discuss this seriously, we have to discuss the root causes of these problems. And the left often loves to pretend to talk about root causes. When it comes to crime, they'll say, well, it's systemic racism, it's white supremacy. No, those are not root causes of anything. The left does not want to discuss the actual root causes of these problems, like rising crime. And unfortunately, conservatives often don't treat these issues as seriously as they should either, because the implications of what we are discussing are very unsettling for certain people. For instance, if you start talking about the effects of violent television, a lot of people like to say, no, it has nothing to do with that. After all, I was raised on this stuff. Because people have an affinity for certain types of entertainment. But consider this. This is not in my article, Chuck. But there was a study conducted years ago that found something very, very interesting. You can take any part of the world you want. Doesn't matter where it is. 15 years after the advent of television, crime rates shot way up. Now, why is that? That's because that's how long it takes, 15 years, to wean one generation on this new medium, on this new type of entertainment. And that doesn't mean that television has to be used for evil. It just means that, unfortunately, it is too often. And related to this story, part of the study was that they found that in South Africa, where television was outlawed until 1975 for internal security reasons, crime back then was much, much lower than in other countries was with similar demographics. But as soon as they legalized TV, introduced TV to South Africa, bingo, 15 years later, you saw the same phenomenon, crime rates increasing precipitously. So again, I watch TV myself. I'm not inveighing against it in principle. I'm simply pointing out that if you want to have an intelligent discussion, these are the things you broach. But anyway.
And remember when they had the viewing hours, they changed it, you know, because maybe unsuitable for minors under 14 and all that stuff, you know. But then they would have the FBI, which it's a true story, and the FBI men carry guns, you know, so they, you know what I'm saying? They would have exceptions that if you were actually a police force, it was okay. And, you know, the gun's still there. That's what I'm trying to say. If they're trying to hide the gun, it didn't do any good. So,
You know, as Alan Keyes once put it, great man Alan Keyes, he said when he was debating this issue, he said, evil comes out of the human heart. It does not come out of the barrel of a gun. And that really is true. But the left, unfortunately, as I point out in my article, just lives in an inverted moral universe where up is down and left is right. I mean, they believe children mustn't be taught to shoot before 10, right? But they must be taught about sex before 8. And they believe that it can be toxic, Chuck, to push a boy toward masculine pursuits, but helpful to tell him he can become a girl. All right? And that's why I say they're operating with intellectual blanks and moral misfires. They're twisted souls. And you know what? their ideology, the left's ideology, has killed far, far more people than any gun ever could. And that is the absolute truth. I'm not exaggerating.
I hope the listeners picked up on that. Intellectual blanks, moral misfires. Okay. You just threw in two gun descriptions there, and and very well. Yeah. How long
just
did
by
it take
accident.
You?
I wrote it that way just by accident. Hello? Hello?
Did I lose him
Hello?
Again? Yeah, there you are.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
is somebody is...
you lost me after what happened.
You need to get your rifle and prop up that microphone, okay?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
I got dead air there, but okay.
I was just talking about how clever that was, blanks and misfires, very. Because I'd love, you know, you hide little things in there, Selwyn, and that's very clever. And I just want to make sure the listener
I wrote it that way, Chuck.
On,
I wrote it that way, Chuck, just by accident.
And I do not believe that, so there. You know, and near the end of this, you talk about the video, right? I watched that video like two or three times, and it, on the AR-15 for children. I think that's what they had hanging up on the wall, right?
Right.
And it was amazing how many times different people had to go over and take it off the wall to go show it to somebody that had to see it, right? But then, knowing
right,
me,
yeah.
Chuck Wilder, Selwyn, if you're ready for this, while they're filming and explaining the whole thing, here comes this young girl that walks right in front of the camera. And they kind of look like, What the heck was that? Did you notice that?
No, I guess I missed that.
You're going to start looking at girls
more
frequently.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's true. Let me say one more thing about this company, WeOne Tactical, that produces this weapon. I support what they're doing, but I don't like their logos. Some people have complained about it, and they really need to change that. The logo, unfortunately, they have is in very bad taste and confirms the stereotypes that the left wants to put forth regarding people such as us. So I'll just mention that, because if anyone sees that logo, he might say,
So if they go to SelwynDuke.com and they check this out, Gunmaker's new AR-15 for kids, you can see that video where they're talking about it at the end there, that Selwyn has it. And I think last week you went to the video and we got something else. I'm trying to think what it was. Can't remember now, but it had nothing to do. Oh, yeah, it was Tucker Carlson took over what you were trying to show. Remember that?
Yeah. I remember you mentioned that, and I said he's trying to insinuate himself into everything I do now, that guy.
I know,
unbelievable.
Man, I'll tell you, he's never going to top you, you know. And it was interesting last night. I'll just throw this in. Here we got World War III starting, and so I figure, okay, I got to go over and watch Gutfeld at night because they get very funny. They get bleep like crazy. And then there's a notice, there will be no gut fill because of the seriousness of World War III or whatever. I said, all right, mess up my TV viewing. You know, that's why you have tapes. Hey, let me ask you real quick, because the second story you had, actually it was the one before this one, was dealing with, what is it again, where is that, Dad? I'm sorry about that. Yeah, WeOne Tactical. WEE1 Tactical, and you were talking about the divided states' reaction to all of this exposes two Americans. Did you want to discuss that a little bit here? Because we got about 3 minutes before the break. Or did you want to talk about soccer? Because I know you like to beat up on people.
Yeah. Well,
soccer.
I wouldn't mind going to the soccer piece. I don't know. Maybe we should do that now because I mentioned the divided states earlier. What do you think?
Yeah, okay, good enough. I just, because that WeOne, you're right. Boy, they sure, you know, think about it before you, you know, we call it talk back here and we don't even take phone calls.
Right.
Of course, that was from the original George Putnam who did, but used to take me forever to get him to do one. So that's another story. Anyway.
Right.
Wokeness trumps free market. U.S. soccer forks over $24 million. Is it Rapinoe crew?
Yeah, Rapinoe. Megan Rapinoe.
I had a funny feeling about that. I like the rap,
yeah.
But I guess I'll go with the Rapinoe. Okay.
Yes. Anyway, the story here is, it may seem like a tempest in a teapot, but it relates to larger issues, Chuck, is that for 6 years, the U.S. Soccer Federation was embroiled in this lawsuit with the women's soccer team, our national women's soccer team, because the women claimed that they were underpaid relative to the men. They wanted the same pay. And what I pointed out was that finally now there was this settlement where U.S. Soccer agreed to fork over $24 million to the women's team, which was only a third of what the team was looking for in damages. But I pointed out what's happening here is you're seeing wokeness, political correctness, trumping the free market. Because after all, there's a reason why the men are paid more. It's because they bring in far more revenue on average. Okay, that's the same reason why we see that female fashion models earn substantially more than male fashion models. But no one talks about that as some great, great thing that is just unjust. So, you know, this is what happened here. And anyway, this settlement is going to give the women $22 million plus $2 million to benefit the players after they retire. But, you know, what really strikes me about this is that the women actually had the chance to have the same deal that the men had in terms of compensation. They rejected that. They chose security guaranteed pay over pay based on bonuses. Okay, so it was their own choice. Then when it didn't quite work out the way they had hoped, they still went to court asking for more money. Why did they do it? Simply because they could, and because in these politically correct times, they figured they probably could get away with it. But what is the difference between viewership here, which of course relates to revenue? Well, listen to this. This is a statistic I cite. In 2018, the Men's World Cup garnered 3.6 billion total viewers worldwide. Breitbart, I'm quoting now. That viewership brought $6 billion in profits to FIFA, which, of course, is a soccer authority, the International Soccer League. On the other hand, still quoting Breitbart, the last Women's World Cup in 2015 only saw 764 million viewers. That is a huge disparity and an essential marker in what the two leagues earn from the fans.
You know, and I noticed, we're getting ready to go into the break here, and I noticed you have the viewers and $6 billion in profits. Was that just for the men's team, or was that the combination of both?
Yeah, no, that was just the men. Just the men.
Just the men, okay.
Men's soccer, yeah.
And the women brought in 5.9. But no, I don't know. Anyway, Selwyn Duke's got to continue. We'll wrap things up in just a moment. It is SelwynDuke.com. S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. Be right back.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Hi, everybody. Michael Horn from CRNDigitalTalk.com. You know, we provide you with the best in talk radio. 8 channels of talk radio, from radio on the left to radio on the right. Sports talk, business talk, religious talk, Spanish talk, you name it, we've got talk radio for you. All at CRNTalk.com. Well, now we bring you video as well as audio. That's right. Watch your favorite shows like the Fred Dreyer program, What's Cooking Today, What's Cooking on Wine, The Lounge, Richard Nixon Live, and so many other shows on video right at our website, CRNTalk.com. You can also watch us on Roku. Just search CRN Talk and you can watch us on any Roku TV anywhere in the world. Also on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook.com/CRN Talk. Roku, search CRN Talk, Facebook.com/CRN Talk. Check us out on Tiki Live and at CRN Talk too. Video for you talk fans, all from CRN Talk.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. And boy, they're so fortunate to have you because just fantastic. Great writers there. And always a pleasure to have Selwyn. And he and I joke around a lot, but he puts a lot into what he's writing. And me, you know, I'm always getting in trouble because, you know, I'm throwing humor at people. But I'm thinking, it's kind of amazing, Selwyn, that they haven't changed the whole thing about soccer and the women's sports, because it's soccer, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're right about that. With how the
boy now, if there's any of them listening, watch out. There's going to be a protest.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting, Chuck. Let me just get now to the really important points here, because I know our time is short, so I can't cover my whole article. But anyway, you know, talk about nerve here. These female soccer players say they want the same pay as the men, but get this, and many have pointed this out. In 2017, this women's soccer team, I think the best in the world at the time, lost a scrimmage to 14-year-old boys 5-2. That was the FC Dallas under-15 squad. Not the first time this has happened. Happened to the Australian national women's team the year before in 2016. They lost to the Newcastle Jets, an under-15 boys team, 7-0. Okay?
7-0.
That said,
wow.
That's not what determines your pay in a free market system. What determines it is how well you please the market, the people. And that's the point. If the women in this case were pleasing the market as much as the men do, they'd be getting the same pay. Just as if male fashion models please the market as much as the female fashion models do, they'd be getting their pay. But here's the kicker. This is the argument we should always put forth. Chuck, if a lightweight boxer complained that he wasn't getting the same pay as the heavyweights, what would you say? You'd say, well, guess what, guy? If you want the heavyweights' money, compete in the heavyweights' rank, and succeed, you'll get their money. What should be
more,
the response?
Yeah, eat more so you won't be lightweight. Go ahead.
Yeah. What should be the response to these female athletes when they complain they want the men's money? Well, if you really want the men's money, compete in the men's realm and succeed, and you'll get it and more because you'll be the biggest thing in sports. And my point is that it is absolutely ridiculous lobbying for equal pay, using an equality argument while also supporting a system that is inherently unequal, namely having separate tours, leagues, and teams for women that are protected from the best competition. It's sort of like this. It's like you create a basketball league only for white guys because whites are underrepresented in the NBA. Black players are about 75% of the league. But then on top of that, that league for white players demands the NBA's money. Now, how would that go over? We know how that would go over. And that's my point. This whole thing is ridiculous. It's all governed by political correctness, and we shouldn't allow it to go by at all. We should use the arguments that I just put forth.
Well, you talk about political correctness. Why don't we get the vice president to make a comment? Oh, wait a minute. She did. In 2019, right? She said, the U.S. women's national team takes the field against Thailand today. The players are also fighting to be paid equally. It's time we pay our USWNT equally. Wow. Kamala. All right.
Yeah,
hey, thank you.
On soccer too.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Look forward to our next visit. Selwyn Duke, God bless you. And look forward to the next meeting, Selwyn. Yes. And I'll give Frank your best.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Seems like I'm off my stool today for some reason, and I just don't quite understand. Thank you, Slade. Thank you for listening. And please remember, absolutely no boys or girls soccer teams were injured during the production of this here radio program.